You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, hey, welcome to hour number two. We are still in number one of the Triple Dipper. Big fat money is what I'm calling it, and that's where we are right now. We got big fat money down in Montgomery. Like more than we've ever seen perhaps in the history of the state of Alabama in terms of a pro rata share of budget increases. It's unbelievable the amount of money they have down there. Now, a tranche of that came from federal relief dollars, but they've also just got a flat-out budget surplus. Like they've collected more money than they expected. And the issue I have with that is that here we are with the private sector facing extremely lean, difficult times, 40-year highs in terms of inflation, and government comes up with a surplus, and we don't hear much about some of it coming back. Now, what happens when you have big, fat money is you get all kinds of people bellying up to the trough to get a piece of it, things you never would have expected. So without further ado, let me do this. I'm going to bring in Justin Bogey, the Director of Fiscal Analysis for the Alabama Policy Institute, also a contributor to Fiscal Analysis for 1819 News. Justin has a long history working with the numbers. Used to work for the Legislative Fiscal Office in Montgomery, spent time in D.C., spent time at the Heritage Foundation, and I'm glad to bring him on the show. Justin, how are you doing today?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. It's good to be with you again.
You too, man. Thanks for spending some time with us. Appreciate it. So I laid the groundwork for this segment I'm doing called Big Fat Money right now, and it's galling to me some of what's included, especially in the education budget that Governor Ivey's sending over that doesn't even seem to relate to education. Tell us what you know.
Right, and most of this that we're discussing, it's coming from the supplemental bill that she's proposing. It's going to spend about $2.8 billion of the ETF surplus. Really some interesting stuff going on there. You know, there's some maybe not so bad things there. There's almost $1 billion for a potential tax rebate for Alabamians. I certainly don't feel like that's the best way to spend the money. I'd rather see permanent tax reform, but, you know, not terrible. But then you get into some more interesting things. You know, for example, there's $360 million to cover the cost of inflation. When the budget was passed last year for the current year that we're in, you know, inflation was already at basically a record high. So it shouldn't have really come to a surprise to anyone that inflation was going to be a problem. And then you have some more interesting things. You know, I know you've alluded to there's $31 million in here to relocate airport operations in Mobile, for example. Yeah. There's about $25 million for the Port of Alabama, which already receives an appropriation every year from the gas tax increase that we saw a few years ago. And then, you know, obviously this $25 million to Montgomery is getting a lot of talk because it's basically to redevelop an area around a new whitewater park that they're constructing. So lots of interesting things going on. And again, this is the education budget. You wonder how a lot of these things really relate to education.
Well, the short answer is they don't relate to education. And I can remember in much leaner times when I was in Montgomery and we didn't have surpluses to work with, there were times, and I remember talking to Senator Tripp Pittman because he and Senator Orr, swapped places as one carried the general fund, which was always sucking wind, and the other one had the education fund. And when they switched places, Tripp was talking about how he said, I told Arthur, if I ever go to you asking for money from your budget, make sure you tell me no. He said, so I went to him and asked for money and he told me no. But usually you can't cross-pollinate usually, and you also can't have non-education expenses in the education budget unless you can find a nexus to education. I don't see a nexus in airport operations or whitewater parks.
You know, I don't either. Most of this seems to be more economic development kind of uses. You know, there are some things in there that are loosely education-related in terms of workforce training and, you know, there's prisoner education, some like that that are at least loosely related to education. But, you know, I don't know how redeveloping an area of Montgomery for Whitewater Park really is. And you know, I'm from Montgomery originally. I've been in that area, and I'm not saying it doesn't need redevelopment, but, you know, that really seems like something that the taxpayers in Montgomery or Montgomery County should be paying and not citizens across the state. And, you know, the same for this airport relocation and some of the other things. And again, another interesting thing was in here is about $30 million for electric vehicle training for workers, which has become a priority of Governor Ivey's when, you know, it doesn't seem like there's really a huge demand for electric vehicles in Alabama at this point. So you have to wonder again if that's really a great use of taxpayer dollars.
No, and I don't think it is. And I was kind of heartened to see that one of the reports that I read on these proposals had State Senator Orr and even Danny Garrett, who's the House chairman, saying, yeah, we saw this for the first time, and we're asking questions like, who are these people getting money, and they need to come in here and present themselves? Because they had budget hearings, and yet this still appears to have caught the legislature off guard. Am I right?
Right. I don't think anybody expected this. You know, they expected, obviously, increases in the Education Trust Fund budget. And you know, we had a big surplus last year. They appropriated about a $1.3 billion Education Trust Fund surplus. But you really didn't see a lot of projects like this. There were certainly capital projects at universities and, you know, the technology fund that the state has. There was a lot of money going towards that. But again, you can relate all those back to education in one way or another, whereas this year, you know, with a surplus twice the size, it just seems like there's a lot of money going other places. So, you know, I hope that they really are concerned with this and that they'll push back on this some and you know, hopefully – a lot of this won't make it into the final bill, but you know how Montgomery works, and anything can happen.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking at – so I can guarantee you right now, I mean, I know the Port of Alabama already has its own lobbying firm. They're hard at work on that money. The Mobile Airport Authority probably hired a lobbying firm just to get this $31 million. And then, you know, some of this stuff I look at and go, okay, I get it. You're establishing a hydroelectric workforce training center. Well, we could call that education. But then again, you look at some of this stuff and you think, okay, Montgomery, if you're going to do this for economic development and you're doing it to, you say, renovate the areas in and around Maxwell Boulevard, well, don't they already get a portion of the gas tax? And didn't they also get some money from the COVID relief dollars that came down from D.C.?
Sure, absolutely. You know, Montgomery obviously got a pretty big share of ARPA funding. And I even saw a report today that indicated, I think it was the head of the Montgomery County Commission had said that, you know, students would be able to come in and kind of watch them as they construct this water park. Oh, and it would be an opportunity for engineering education, which you know, seemed to kind of be a new response that they had developed today. But it's certainly hard for most people, I think, to make that connection.
Well, I think what we're looking at here is maybe they're setting up, you know, the Artful Dodgers school of pickpocketing government, because that's what they're doing. Is they're finding artful ways to get in there and grab some money at a time of surplus. And all this does, I would look at some of this and go, and I can see that not happening, and that could all be a rebate and or refund to the people of Alabama.
Right. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, about $967 million or so has been set aside for a tax rebate. Well, if you took a lot of these other projects out of that, you know, you could probably have a tax cut or some formation of a combination of a cut and a rebate that's easily double that size. And, you know, for most people in Alabama who are struggling with the rising costs of groceries and, you know, gas and everything else, that's going to have a much more direct impact on them than many of these projects ever will. You know, how many people across the state will benefit from these? Certainly, if you're local to those areas, you may see some benefit. But, you know, the money really represents taxes that were collected from everyone in the state. So it should have a more statewide benefit than just helping people in certain areas.
So let me ask you, and Justin, if you remember, I mean, you worked at LFO, the Legislative Fiscal Office, if I'm not mistaken, in years past. Of course, I was down there in the legislature, and my recollection is there's a constitutional division between funds. That's why we have our education budget and general funds separately. And are they required to pass any kind of special appropriation bill to be able to do this cross-pollination of things that aren't education-related? Do you recall any processes like that?
I do not recall anything specific. You know, it's just if when they have a surplus like this, they have to do a supplemental bill. But again, you know, if it's coming out of Education Trust Fund revenues, which are specifically earmarked for education, then certainly seems to me that there should be a direct link to education to spend that money.
Yeah, I would agree. And there's going to have to be some enabling legislation, I think, though, somewhere in there that explains the reasons why. Or at the very least, they ought to have a public hearing, and anybody can request a public hearing on this expenditure before it goes through committee. Hey, before I lose you, and this was not something I had planned on, but I caught the article after I'd already texted you about coming on. Have you seen the deal with the cost of the Elmore County prison, like doubling to about $1 billion for one prison? Have you seen that?
I have. So last week or in the last couple of weeks, they approved additional spending of up to $352 million. So it's up over $950 million now for the total cost of the Elmore County prison, my understanding is they haven't made a tremendous amount of progress on. It's through the kind of clearing the dirt phase, but they haven't made it a lot further. And obviously we're on this deadline of July 1st, 2025 to meet federal requirements, or otherwise the federal government could potentially come in and take over prison. So it sounds like it's behind schedule and it's over budget. And you know, we still have another prison that's supposed to be constructed down in Escambia County, and I think they're even further behind on it. And you know, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they come back and say the costs of that have increased as well.
Yeah, and it boggles my mind. At one point in that article, Bill Poole, Finance Director Bill Poole, former member of the House, who's a good guy, I like Bill Poole, but he said something to the effect of, we hope to know by this summer how much the project will actually cost. And I thought, wait a minute, we're like a year and a half into this thing. What do you mean you want to find out how much? And I, notwithstanding inflation, I have a hard time believing that inflation ticked that thing up by about a $450 million uptick.
Yeah, and from that comment that he made, it sounds like it could go up even more. Like this extra $352 right now is just sort of a moving target, and when it's all said and done, it may end up being more expensive than that. And, you know, certainly inflation is part of that. But, you know, I think people of Alabama deserve answers and really need to know what's going on with this and the reason for these cost overages and if it's really justified.
Well, listen, man, I don't know if the Policy Institute has any plans to go down to Montgomery and do any, speaking or lobbying the issues or whatever else on this fiscal matter. But if you do, let us know, okay?
Sounds good. We will.
All right. Hey, Justin Bogie, Director of Fiscal Analysis for the Alabama Policy Institute and contributor to 1819 News. We appreciate your time, man. Have a great day.
Thanks very much. You too.
All right. Well, there's a guy who knows numbers like the back of his hand, and he knows where the bones are buried in Montgomery and in D.C. for that matter. And he's calling their bluff on this. He's basically saying this stuff doesn't match up. It doesn't equate to education spending, at least much of it. But like anything else, the governor can ask and the legislature can pass. And if they do, she can sign. And I don't know that there's any constitutional provision that prevents it from happening at that point unless someone decides to file suit as a taxpayer and claim that this is a process that has some way violated constitutional provisions. That's an interesting dynamic. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will take the break right now. We'll come back from this break. Kind of put a lid on this one and move into the next part of the Triple Dipper, race baiters and charlatans. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.